What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. Hello and welcome to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ryan Coburn. With me tonight is my co-host, Joel Meyer. How are we doing tonight, Joel?
Well, it finally happened. Finally hit a golf outright. Only the second all year. You know, I bet like 4 or 6 guys almost every week. Well, not lately because I've been getting so strung out, tilted, and more or less just giving up. You heard me on that Friday show. I was like, oh, yeah, I bet a few guys today. And didn't even know how they played. but turns out, Victor Hovland, my guy, I've been betting him pretty much basically for 2 years now, like all the time. Love the guy. Just always bails at the last when it counts on the last day on Sunday. But today he hit a massive putt, or not today, Sunday he made a massive putt on 17. And unfortunately, Danny McCarthy was putting his ass off all freaking day. And finally, he bogeyed 18 to make a playoff out of it. He shanks his drive to the right, and Victor Hovland makes a par there while Denny bogeys the first playoff hole and giving a nice 18-1. So that was a great feeling. Almost forgot what it felt like, but yeah, it's the hell of a way to start the week.
Yeah, that's a great hit for you. I do remember that show. I asked you who you had. You're like, yeah, none of my guys were really in it. And then Hovland came through for you there on Sunday. You guys were in the Discord there talking it out. So happy for that, for you, for that hitting there. Make sure you get in the Discord, sg.pn/discord. It is still a great support system, great way to make some money. Talk about all types of different sports in the Hockey Channel. It's the most active channel, so make sure you get in there. Follow us on Twitter as well, at HockeySGPN. And, of course, make sure you are subscribed to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast. Turn on that auto-download and leave us a 5-star rating and review.
And, of course, that wasn't the only golf news to talk about.
Yes.
Everyone's talking about it, so I'm sure the listeners know by now, but the whole LIV thing, the Saudis basically signed the whole PGA, and they reconciled their differences or whatever, and now it's going to be interesting next year. We'll talk more about it, because I want to see how Talon feels about it. I mean, I know how he feels. He's probably he's already getting drunk right now, celebrating seeing his boys back in the PGA. Bryson and Koepka and Mickelson, yeah. all the dark guys he likes. But yeah, we'll talk about it on when he gets back.
Is that not in effect immediately? Is that not till next year?
Yeah, not till next year. They'll play out the rest of the season, and then they'll. I'm not sure how it's going to work exactly. Apparently, you have to pay a bit of money to get back in, but I'm sure they're going to make out just fine with what they earned signing with LIV. And yeah, I mean. It's a bad day to be Rory McIlroy, that's for sure.
Yeah, it seems like that whole LIV thing, like it's been what, like a year, maybe 2 years, if that, or less.
It's been about a year.
Yeah, it just shows like if there was a sport where you could like put the most elite athletes and create a second league, it would be like an individual sport like golf or like tennis. And like this is just showing you that you can't do that. Like you couldn't create an equal NHL. Or an equal NFL, or even like a relegation in America, just wouldn't work.
Yeah, I've been complaining all year about all the favorites winning, but that's because a lot of excellent golfers went to this other tour, so you lost a lot of that middle ground, right? You just have like Scheffler, Rahm at the top, Rory sometimes, and then there's fairly big drop off between them and the other guys. But if there were like DJ playing. Bryson's playing well again. Cam Smith, one of the best golfers in the world. If those guys are still around in PGA, Scheffler and Rahm wouldn't be winning as much, and I would be complaining less and probably winning more.
Yeah, and then probably the odds will be longer, and you wouldn't have to complain about them being too short. Yeah, Exactly. Yeah, the other big news in hockey, I forgot to mention it even pre-show to you to make sure we're talking about it, but big Flyers trade today. Matter of time here. Ivan Provorov dealt in a three-team trade. Provorov went to Columbus. The Kings retained 30% of Provorov's salary, picked up Kevin Connaughton and Hayden Hodgson from the Flyers. Basically, for the Kings, it was them trying to clear some cap space to sign Gavrikov, I believe, is due for an extension. But the Flyers made out, Danny Briere made out like an absolute bandit in this. I mean, he swung big and he hit with his first trade here. He got back the Kings' first-round pick from Columbus that they had from the Gavrikov trade, a second-round pick next year from L.A., a second-round pick either next year or the year after from Columbus. And they got back Cal Peterson, who's a solid backup goalie, Sean Walker, who's a decent defenseman. You know, put him in the bottom four. He can eat some minutes. And then this Helge Granza guy, this prospect, right-handed defenseman, apparently was like a top 20 first-round guy, ended up going 35th overall in 2020 to the Kings. So hopefully the Flyers, you know, pick up some prospects there, pick up some future assets and get rid of someone that they needed to get rid of for this rebuild. I absolutely love it. I mean, as the news was trickling today, I was like, okay, Provorov's going to LA, three-way trade. It's like, okay, you know, and then you saw Cal Peterson, Sean Walker. It's like, okay, then, you know, a second round pick, then also a first round pick and another second round pick on top of that. Plus this prospect who some Flyers fans appeared to be pretty high on. So hopefully he can, you know what, pan out, or if he doesn't, he's not going to be on the books like Provorov was for the next several years. So this is exactly what Danny Briere and the Flyers need to do. They need to trade out some of these bad contracts. Obviously, Cal Peterson himself has a bad contract, $5 million, but it's only for two more years. The Flyers are not competing in those 2 years. I don't care what happens in the next 2 years. Bring on all the bad contracts that expire before the time the Flyers are going to be competitive again. So maybe this means a Carter Hart trade. That was the big big speculation today on Twitter and all the social media there. You know, getting Cal Peterson, Felix Sandstrom's decent, Samuel Harrison, they have all these goalies. Is the next shoe to drop going to be Carter Hart? So we'll see what goes with that. But I've been talking a long time. I can't imagine you have as much of a take as I do on this. But from an outside perspective, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I can't comment much more or argue with much there. I mean, I think that you're not giving enough credit to Provorov. He's an excellent defenseman. And
That's the thing. We are giving enough credit to Provorov. The people that watch and analyze the Flyers watch him and don't just look at, oh, he plays 22 minutes a night. He plays tough minutes and that stuff. He can be that. That's what he was when he was playing with Matt Niskanen that 1 year and even the year before that. But maybe it's a change of scenery thing, but I don't know if Columbus is the right spot for him.
It turns out, I learned this today, that Mike Babcock really liked Provorov in the Marner draft and almost drafted him instead of Marner.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so clearly he's had his eyes on him for a while and clearly rates him. So explains the trade to some extent. And for me, from a betting perspective, this signals the intent of two teams for looking forward to free agency. One team is looking to compete, which would be the Blue Jackets, and the other team, the Flyers, would be looking to sell. They're not going to be competitive this year. You don't make this kind of deal when you're going to try to be a really competitive team. This is a good move by the Flyers because it was thinking long term. So yeah, the Flyers are likely going to be a sell team this year once again. And I said the Blue Jackets will be looking to be competitive, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be betting on them. They got problems of their own. But yeah, that's what I think about that. We carry on.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense. You've delved deeper into this in the past than I have, but when do like team point totals usually come out? Like August, July?
Yeah, they're getting earlier and earlier every year, but usually middle of August, I want to say.
Yeah, usually when like the off season, all the big free agents are done and like there's not going to be much movement. So, but yeah, like you said,
I wouldn't be surprised to see it come out earlier. I mean, just like this year, college football is win totals were out a few weeks earlier than usual too. So yeah, it just gets earlier and earlier. Yeah, you want your money for as long as possible.
Exactly. I was going to say the sports books want your money as soon as you're able to give it to them, and they'll gladly take that from you. But yeah, like you said, Columbus is going to try to win. We'll see what they do. I think they definitely need some help in net. But wasn't what's his face injured for most of last year, Merzlikins?
No, he's just sucked.
And he just sucked. So I don't know. Maybe they'll Babcock will come in and be able to get the best out of, you know, Provorov there with Marinsky and their line A and whatever up front. So you know what? Maybe a Blue Jackets. I don't know what their cup futures are. I can't imagine they win the cup next year, but 250-1. I mean, they're showing they're trying to win, so maybe that's something to do. But yeah, the Marinsky. Flyers.
Renske was injured for the bulk of the year, and that was a huge deal for them. So, yeah, I could see Babcock coming in there and being like Tortorella with the Flyers last year, just making them more competitive, especially defensively. And, yeah, we could see a better year from the likes of Johnny Gaudreau, who didn't, you know, he was okay, but he wasn't exactly in his Calgary form in his first year there. So, yeah, I could see the Blue Jackets at least going over the point total. Definitely not looking to back them for any Stanley Cup shit.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Blue Jackets in general were injured a lot last year. And you know what? They're not going to quite make that Devils jump that the Devils made this year, but they have a good young core too. Kent Johnson, Marchenko, Cole Sillinger, Patrick Laine is only 25. So
that Marchenko guy came out of nowhere too.
Mm-hmm, right? Exactly.
Showed up and started scoring goals.
Yeah, so maybe they're looking to compete in the next 2 to 3 years with Babcock there. And that's what they're looking here with Provorov, has 2 more years on his deal. All right, let's make sure we check out Edge Boost. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in betting advances, which can be an extremely valuable tool. Imagine what you can do with an increased bankroll. You can get down on some of your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll for months, maybe some of those season point totals. You could double down on a favorite bet you like or even use it to create an awesome middle or a hedge opportunity. Edge Boost isn't some sleazy loan shark. They charge zero interest. Edge Boost can also be a part of a responsible gambling plan, as you can set up daily, weekly, or monthly limits across all of your betting accounts in one place. So support SGPN and grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
One more piece of news. The Cole Caulfield signing.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Something we can touch on. I think it's 8 years for 7.8, something like that, around
yeah,
there. Yeah, around point.
There. Yeah, the max 8 years, yeah.
Yeah, and that's just less than the captain, Nick Suzuki, even though I think Caulfield's a better player. But, yeah, they're building good culture there in Montreal, not taking too much money, and that's how you build a competitive team, like we talked about on the last show, I think, just spreading that money around and not hogging it all up with a couple of players like a certain other team. Yeah, so that's a great deal. He's going to be a great player for the whole extent of that contract, barring injury or some random drop-off. But, yeah, that's the Canadians are building something for sure.
Yeah, I think that was a great signing there. Talon said in the Discord that if they have Suzuki and Caulfield for, like, $15 million and Matthews asked for $14 million, he's just going to quit the podcast. So hopefully that doesn't happen. But yeah, I saw some nerds on Twitter saying, you know, it was too much for Caulfield because he doesn't play defense or a two-way game. He's 22 years old. He scores goals. What more do you want from him?
Especially in today's NHL, like defensive, the two-way play isn't as big of a deal as it used to be, at least during the regular season. I'm sure it becomes more important in the playoffs, but still. That's not what Martin St. Louis' system is all about, really. I mean, they just want to get the puck up the ice quickly and get shots on net and accurate shooters, and that's what Caulfield can provide. They're not too interested in defense over there in Montreal.
Yeah, but now they got 23-year-old Suzuki, 22-year-old Caulfield tied up, locked up, and through at least 2029. So they got a good duo there. All right, we were supposed to potentially supposed to record after the game 2 on Monday night. I was not in the mood to record after the Panthers just got absolutely beat down by the Vegas Golden Knights. I think it was a 7-2 final score. Jonathan Marchessault showed 2 goals to add to his suddenly the favorite for the Conn Smythe. We'll get into that after talking about the game. But Joel, what was your takeaway from game 2? Do you think the Panthers have any chance of getting back in it, or was this just Vegas kind of showing what they're able to do for a whole series?
Yeah, it was just more of the same. They're just beating the depth. They play all 4 lines. Nobody plays more than 20 minutes, and that's it's beating the blocks off the Panthers, who basically have no fourth line, right? They're very top heavy, and they're not able to bully the Knights like they were able to do against the the Leafs and the Canes, especially when they're smaller teams and they don't have a lot of fight. But the Knights are just too damn big. Like it's like I don't know, they're running into a brick wall kind of thing, and or they're like I don't know, a bee bugging an elephant or something like that. So like these guys are so huge. Like you see that hit on Gudas tried to lay out Barbashev. Barbashev ran him over.
And Gudas might be done now. I think there is no update on him yet.
Oh man. So yeah, that encapsulates the story of the series so far. I know Tkachuk, he got Eichel pretty good. That was a great hit. But generally, those hits are going the other way, and that's why the Panthers are unable to do what they did to the previous team so much as against the Knights here, who are just the bigger, better team right now, rolling all four lines and doing everything they can to bother Bobrovsky. Just the screens all day, and even the Panthers themselves. I was listening to an interview with Mike McKenna, old goalie, works with Daily Faceoff, I think. He was saying that it's not only the Knights who are screening Bobrovsky, but the Panthers themselves are doing a horrible job of getting out of the way. Like they're just in the sight lines of Bobrovsky all the time, and so I don't think Bobrovsky's playing that bad, or certainly he didn't think so, but it's just the Knights are doing what you have to do against a hot goalie, and the Panthers are not helping him out at all. They're looking more defensively like they were in the regular season than they were in the playoffs. I mean, they were terrible for the past 2 years defensively, and then all of a sudden they were able to play defense in these playoffs. So yeah, the shorter sample size, we're regressing more to the mean, more to who they really are as a team, I guess. And the better team's winning this series, and unless the Panthers radically change some shit up, they're destined for another potentially another 4-0 sweep, going back to '96 when my Avs killed them in a sweep there at the Uwe Krupp, the OT winner in Game 4. So yeah, go Knights.
Yeah, at times during Game 2, it just looked like men against boys out there. I mean, and the final score showed that 7-2. Panthers were never really in it. I mean, but Marchessault scored, power play goal in the first period. They went up 2-0. From then, you could just tell, I think, the shots on goal disparity was huge in the first period, too. But I'm not writing off the Panthers for the entire series just yet. I mean, they showed their resiliency in the first round, obviously, against Boston, coming back from down 3-1, and then went on that huge run where they lost one game in the next two rounds. But yeah, they have not quite figured out Vegas yet. I don't know if Palmeiras is going to be able to, but going back home, I mean, Vegas is a tough place to play. I think going back home, they do have some life. The odds do kind of show that, but yeah, that game too was just Vegas dominating. Got my Brett Howden goal in there. He scored two there, so that was good for Brett Howden. What is your take now on, or what was your take on the Tkachuk hit on Eichel that got him a 10-minute misconduct? Because to me, it looked like Eichel, I don't know if he toe-picked or just kind of bailed out on the hit and leaned forward. Looked like a shoulder-on-shoulder hit, but obviously with how the series has gone so far and with how Tkachuk has just been a complete pest, I think now he has picked up a third 10-minute misconduct in the third period of the series. So he now actually has more penalty minutes in the series than time on ice. What were your thoughts on that hit? Do you think the refs were taking it a bit too far to give him the misconduct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even Bruce Cassidy and Jack Eichel after the game and their pressers, they were saying it was more clean than not, and it's a physical game and you got to endure that kind of thing. And good for Jack Eichel to get right back up to his feet, you know, and just looked a little stunned at first with his lid knocked off. But yeah, it was a great hit. You just got to keep your head up in those situations. And yeah, that when he bailed like that, that almost made it worse. Yeah, it's just clean hit. Tkachuk was in the right. I mean, he got two 10-minute misconducts, didn't he, in this game? I didn't see what the second one was.
The second one, he slashed someone's sticks out of their hand after the whistle. He shot like a rat that was thrown in the ice or something. It was weak.
Oh man, yeah, the refs were way too busy in this game, I thought. Too many penalties, and that's another thing too. The Panthers are not being very disciplined at all. I mean, I'm not blaming Tkachuk for those ones, but in general, the Panthers are not doing a good job staying out of the box, and the Knights are punishing for it. The first power play goal, which Marchessault, it was a beauty. So yeah, they got to be more disciplined, that's for sure, because the Knights are they're getting the power play going.
Yeah, Knights are definitely getting the power play going. I do think still the refereeing is favoring Vegas, but some of these penalties by the Panthers just don't take a penalty. Don't take a roughing penalty in the neutral zone. They're not going to score from there. Only penalties you take in the playoffs, especially in the Stanley Cup final, is in your own zone if it's like a direct scoring chance. Anything else is just inexcusable, and that's what they've been doing so far. We're planning on recording tomorrow night. That's why we're not necessarily going into Game 3 too deeply here. But what are your initial thoughts on Game 3? I believe the Panthers are minus 120 at home. Golden Knights are plus 100. Over-under's up at 6 now, both paying off minus 110. The Panthers, for me, I mean, they were a much better home team than a road team in the regular season, but, I mean, Vegas loves going on the road, rolling their four lines, and just playing their game and continuing to do it. So, as a more rational take on this, what do you think is going to happen in Game 3?
Yeah, this is, the so-called must-win game. You know, you can't go down 3-0. We know the history of teams that go down 3-0. It's not good. There's only been four teams that done it.
I didn't realize teams going up 2-0 at home, they showed on the broadcast last night, are like 38-3 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. They're the higher-seeded team, too, so that always helps. For this game, just give me the Knights. I mean, until the Panthers have shown me that they can change stuff up and match the Knights some more physicality or just more discipline, maybe more speed. Just they got to get other guys going other than Tkachuk. I mean, Sam Bennett is making a nuisance of himself, but he's not producing too much offensively. Carter Verhaeghe, he's had his chances, but still unable to bury the puck. Same goes for Reinhardt. So these guys just got to shoot better or something and pass the puck, get the Knights big DM moving because you're not going to run them over. And maybe get some screens on Aiden Hill, who looked pretty shaky in game one, but game two was pretty composed. I don't think either goal were necessarily his fault. First one was definitely a fluke. You just give me the Knights. Better team. I don't care that they're on the road. Doesn't matter much these playoffs or in recent playoffs either. The home ice advantage doesn't mean much. But I would like the over as well. But it's going to be super hot and humid once again in Sunrise there, which could lead to some bad ice, sloppy puck play, and just very choppy. So a lot of funny bounces, which generally leads to unders, I guess. But that's just a... We'll see how that plays out. That's why I'm not exactly running to the window to bet the over.
Yeah, I think if I bet this total, it'll probably be an alt total again. I mean, Golden Knights have scored, 12 goals now in two games? Plus 100, they're plus 105 some places. If you can get plus money on the team that's up 2-0 and has outscored them 12-4, I think you kind of have to take that no matter what the home away splits say. And as I said, the Golden Knights have no problem going on the road and winning hockey games. So, I mean, it's up to the Panthers to turn things on its head now to see what happens in this series. But further, make sure you check out Underdog Fantasy. Best Ball Mania 4 is here, and Underdog Fantasy is giving away $15 million in prizes, plus plenty of other ways to win with NBA, NHL, and MLB with their player prop parlays. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right. The big story, I think, to come out of game two betting wise is Jonathan Marchessault, who is now the betting favorite to win the Conn Smythe Trophy at minus 105. Jack Eichel is up there at plus 425. You can get him plus 600 at FanDuel. Aiden Hill, 4-1. Then everyone else is 10-1 or higher. So what is your take on the Conn Smythe race right now?
Yeah, I mean, Eichel, I think at 6-1 is the only play right now. It's tough to do the minus price at this point. Obviously, the Knights are in the clear driving seat to win the series, and that would mean almost certainly a Knights player winning the Conn Smythe. But -105 is just it's just too short. So I don't want to back that guy, even though he's got the hot hand. He's scoring the goals, 3 goals already this series. 2-1 assists, I think. And then, Eichel's been the provider. He's got 3 assists. But it just takes one game, then he can get in there. We've talked about the Conn Smythe on. It's just
that's all we got to talk about now.
I know. Yeah. But Eichel 6-1 would be the only thing I might play, I guess. If you want to bet the Panthers, if you think they come back. If you can find Kachuk I don't think Bobrovsky has a hope now of winning the Conn Smythe, and his odds don't really reflect that. He's still pretty close to Kachuk, so mm-hmm. I would bet Kachuk rather than the Panthers to win the series. If you go that route, as long as it's like 12-1 or better, 10-1 maybe.
Bobrovsky and Kachuk are both at 13-1 at FanDuel.
There you go. That's what I would do for the Panthers. If I wanted to bet the Panthers. Yeah, and I still don't mind Stone at 15-1 or better. He's the heart of the team. Everyone loves this guy, and he's the captain too. So, I'm not. I just don't want to bet Marshall at -105 or Hill at 5-1. It's just a little too short. Both guys could win it. I'm not like Talon saying that Aiden Hill doesn't have a prayer. Obviously, he's unlikely to win it, but he definitely could. Especially if, you get to shut out in the last game. And, mm-hmm. they say that it's like the finals are basically 60-70% of the Conn Smythe waiting. Like, you wait this series far more than you do the first three. So even though he didn't play in the first series, it doesn't really matter if he dominates in the last two series in particular. So, yeah, that's why Aiden Hill does have a chance, but he'll need the other players to maybe spread the love. Not like Marchessault scoring 3 points in one game. Maybe he'll have like a goal from him, assist from Eichel, goal from Carlson, or maybe just a bunch of depth guys scoring. And then Aiden Hill keeps putting up the same numbers, which are really good. And then that's his path to a victory. And a big shutout win wouldn't hurt either, of course. So there is a path for Aiden Hill to win the Conn Smythe, but that 5-1 is just too short.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Eichel at 6-1 is probably the best bet right now. I mean, he has more points than Marchessault in the playoffs, only 22-21. But the issue is Marchessault has those 12 goals to Eichel 6. Eichel 6-1, I think, is the play if you like the Golden Knights. He's going to have to score sometime in these next few games. He's going to continue picking up points, especially if Marchessault does. And, now he has that narrative. Everyone thought after that hit from Kachuk, he was going to be out with a concussion or a neck thing, or his shoulder was hanging, so they thought maybe a shoulder thing, but he's back. He got an assist on Marchessault's second goal. I think 6-1 is kind of crazy for that, which, I mean, he is 4-1, 425 elsewhere, so that is more reasonable. And yeah, Kachuk at 13-1. If the Panthers come back, it's going to be Matthew Kachuk kind of leading the way there. He has 22 points, which is the most of all active players, tied with Eichel. He put up, I think, multiple points in all the last 3 games of the Bruins series. I think he had 6 points over those last 3 games. So if the Panthers win, it's going to be Kachuk. It's not going to be Bob now after he got pulled, after, he's kind of shaky now. Who knows? I mean, he's going to start, but Maurice is kind of saying, you never know who's going to start the next game. But Kachuk 13-1 when the Panthers are, what, +400, +420 to win the cup, I think is some good value there. And if you want to bet Marchessault, I don't blame you for wanting to kind of ride this hot streak, but don't bet him for the Conn Smythe. In game 3, you can get him to score a goal at +200. You can get him to have a point at around -140. Two or more points is +350, and 3 or more points is 12-1. So bet him to score a goal before you bet him to win Conn Smythe, because if he doesn't score, it's either Eichel or Hill is going to improve their case, or they just lose, and then you're going to get better odds on him no matter what after game 3. So I think that's the way to attack Marchessault if you really want to. But yeah, I also don't think Hill's out of it. I think he could, put up a shutout, put up another, only allow 1 or 2 goals, and come out of nowhere and win it, especially if the Vegas Golden Knights do continue their kind of their offense has been completely spread around. I think they have 9 different goal scorers, like 15 different guys have a point. So Marchessault was the guy in game 2, but they are a team that just rolls 4 lines, like we keep saying, and all 4 lines can contribute. William Carrier has been incredible. I saw something on Twitter, like over the past 3 years, he has as many 5-on-5 goals as some of these like star players we look at. So they have these guys that just score goals. They're going to win. And if they win, Hill's going to be in net. So I think that's not a bad angle there at 4-1, 5-1. But yeah, I think Eichel 6-1 and then Tkachuk at 13-1 are my probably 2 best bets there.
One last thing to the uninitiated listener, we probably sound like I don't know, crazy people, fools, whatever, because we basically picked a different Conn Smythe guy every friggin' episode. But
you gotta follow the market. There's different
exactly prices. The prices change. I didn't want Eichel at 3-1, but at 6-1, that's definitely more appealing, especially when the Knights won another game. I don't care. Marchessault scored a couple goals. Eichel can, he's got goals in him as well. Though he's been more of a passer in these playoffs, but still, he's an elite talent, and he does shoot the puck. It's not like he never shoots it, and passing matters too. You get the points, and you get the love. The media seemed to like him as well for his, his struggles with Buffalo and all that. They were very sympathetic there, taking his side generally against the Sabres management. So, Eichel is definitely still very much in the mix. I just like him better 6-1 than 3-1 after game 1. So, yeah, just a note for the listener who thinks we're just dumb as fuck for picking different guys every episode. I mean, I've picked, 5 of the top 6 at some point or other. I don't think I ever picked Bobrovsky, but definitely the other 5 at the top of the board.
Yeah, it's not us like being dumb or being wishy-washy. It's the prices change, and that's the whole thing with betting in general. Is that like you have to look at the market, the prices that are offered. You're not just betting on this player to win an award or this team to win a game. You're betting on the chances of that happening based off the odds that you're given, which is what you preach over and over in your Professor Meyer segments, and I'm sure you will in the offseason as well. But yeah, every new game, every time the odds change, it's a different market. There could be value on different guys.
Exactly.
Speaking of value on some guys, if you do want a long shot, don't bet this, but Ivan Barbashev is 130-1. What I do like for Barbashev, though, is either to get a point or to get an assist in game 3. I think to get an assist, he is plus 190. For a point, he is like plus, I think, 110. And he's on the top line with Eichel and Marchessault. He has a point in 4 straight games, which includes an assist in 3 straight. He has points in all but 6 of his 19 playoff games. He has assists in 9 of those 19 games. So, yeah, Barbashev is someone I'm targeting in daily fantasy. I bet on him a few times to score. He hasn't come through for me, but I think bet him to get a point or bet him to get an assist if you're looking for a plus money prop.
Yeah, I love that bet.
I think that's pretty much all I got. We should come back to you in about 24 hours. You got anything else you want to touch on here before we close it out?
Not really.
I don't think there was any more news today, really. There was a coach hiring somewhere, and there was a coach hiring. It may have been maybe the Ducks hired somebody.
Oh, yeah.
I heard a story about him on Twitter that was like when he was in the AHL and the coach, like the opposing coach was chirping his players. And then like during the intermission, he went into that coach's office and said, "Stop chirping their players. You're going to deal with me." So I love seeing that. I think it was the Ducks hired him. I'm going to try to find his name right now. Greg Cronin on Monday. 6th replaced Dallas Eakins. So yeah, another one of these guys, not a retread coach. Coach that's kind of put his time in the AHL, especially hearing that story. I'm excited to see what he does in Anaheim. Maybe he can whip Trevor Zegras into shape.
I totally forgot the Ducks even fired Eakins. I mean, just goes to show Eakins how much that. Yeah, Ducks are irrelevant anyway. I'm all good. I'm just a bit scared of Carlos Alcaraz, who absolutely destroyed Tsitsipas, the Greek guy. He always fails towards the end, no matter how good he's playing. Talking about the French Open, by the way, for anyone who's totally clueless. And yeah, we're going to set up a huge heavyweight semifinal between him and my guy, Novak Djokovic. So that'll be one hell of a match on Thursday, or no, it's Friday. Yeah, well, hopefully I get to watch that. But yeah, French Open's getting down to the hard stuff, the final matches, and when I'm looking for a thing.
What's that like, final this weekend?
Yeah, Sunday. It would be the man. I think the women are on Friday or Saturday. Yeah, so it's going to be intense. All in on Djokovic, all in on Iga Świątek. And yeah, hopefully these results serve me better than the first week, which was not very good.
Apparently, this Greg Cronin or Cronin guy is not one of these more younger guys. He's 60 years old. He mostly college coach with Maine back in the 90s and Northeastern in the late 2000s. Most recently was the coach of the Colorado Eagles. Is that the Avalanche AHL, I believe?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. So and that makes sense.
He was with the Maple Leafs in the past as well. So you and Talon just eating it up here.
That makes sense for the Ducks, though, because they got a lot of young guys. So the fact he spent so many years in college will help with that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's still the Ducks, so who cares?
Exactly.
All right. Once again, make sure you are subscribed to the Hockey UN podcast. Leave us one of those 5-star rating reviews. I've not gotten one in almost 3 months now. I mean, we've got the Stanley Cup final here. Not a few more shows, but a few more weeks here of actual hockey to talk about. So make sure you get those reviews in. Goes a long way for the discoverability of the show. Make sure new people can find us, especially if you enjoy us so much. Make sure you leave us a 5-star rating and review, and follow us on Twitter at HockeySGPN, and get in the Discord, sg.pn/discord. I am Ryan Gilbert. You can follow me on Twitter at rgilbertsop.
I'm Joel Marion. If I'm praying for Rory McIlroy's reputation, because it took a massive hit today.
See ya.